Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. What runs through your mind when somebody says that your animal's problem has a stress component? Do you automatically start thinking about your own life and your pet's life in terms of anything that would stress your pet? Or are you more like the veterinary pathologist who said that stress is the diagnosis of choice of the diagnostically bereft? People blame stress for an animal's physical or behavioral problem when they're not smart enough to figure out what the bacteria or the virus or the chemical imbalance that's really causing the problem is. These people often point to ulcers. They'll say, look at that. Look how long we thought that ulcers were caused by people worrying too much and being stressed, and talking to them about changing their lifestyles and learning to relax more. And then what did we discover? It's a bacteria, Heliobacter. Treat them for the bacteria, and they get better. Then we have the miracle cures in behavior. 2 days on a psychoactive drug and the dog is fine. Loves everybody. Must have been a chemical imbalance, right? Maybe, maybe not. Centuries ago, Hippocrates, who's considered the father of medicine, said that faith in the patient's ability to heal the self is number one in the healing process, followed by faith in the physician, and then faith in the treatment. We currently live at a time when many of us choose to have more faith in the treatment, the veterinarian, behaviorist, the trainer, than we do in ourselves and our animals. When that's the case, we don't want to hear about stress. And not wanting to hear about stress, not wanting to know about the role stress plays in medical and behavioral problems, is a win-win situation for some people. Having more faith in the treatment than yourself and the animal, you don't have to think about all the arguing you might be doing with your spouse, or about all those times that you get angry and you yell at the dog, sometimes for no reason at all. If you're a veterinarian or a trainer or a behaviorist, it's so much easier to ignore the stress parts of the problem, because then you don't have to get into conversations with owners about those things, about what is going on in their lives, what's going on in the environment, and even more importantly, how to make changes. Instead, you can just point to the bacteria, the virus, the chemical imbalance, and say, here's the drug. Here's the magic pill. And just divorce yourself from the whole process. So for people who lack communication skills, and for people who don't want to face the stressors in their life, this approach works very well. If that idea strikes us as somehow convenient but not very realistic, then stress isn't so scary. And in fact, we realize that recognizing stress is a very, very empowering concept, because we can do something about the stress in our lives and in our households. And by extension, we can help reduce the stress on our pets. Instead of us and our animals being passive recipients of the drug or the treatment in which we put all of our faith, now suddenly we are part of a team. It's us, the animal, the veterinarian, the behaviorist, the trainer, working together to find and ensure the very, very best treatment for that particular problem. And it might be an antibiotic. It might be a psychoactive drug, but that won't be the whole picture. That will be the result of our working together. And in the process of dealing with the stressors, we can enhance the effect of the treatment, and we can enhance the health of the animal and our relationship to the animal, to the point that maybe the treatment might not even be necessary at all.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.